seated. Kids, you're welcome to go back to kids' church. Mr. John's back there today for you. Have a great time. Well, I got myself into trouble again. I don't know what it is. It's the life I live. I'm in a fantasy football league with my family, and last week was the beginning of the NFL season, and on Thursday night, the New England Patriots were kicking off things, and I found a little cartoon on the internet that I thought was kind of funny. But apparently, it wasn't funny for everybody in my family. You see, as part of the league, we have this group messaging, so I sent the cartoon out, and at the bottom of the cartoon read, "Out for the New England's coin toss, our honorary Patriot captains, Barry Bonds, Lance Armstrong, and Tanya Harding." Okay, a little rough, right? I get it. But, you know, most of my family is from, actually all of them are from California, and they're either displaced Rams fans or they're, dare I say it, 49ers fans. My niece responds to this cartoon. She says, "Seriously? Brady didn't injure anyone or take drugs. I'm not even a Pats fan, and I think that deal was lame. No cheating, whether there ever was, tonight, and they still look like Super Bowl winners. I think this is stupid, point stupid. They're good. Get over it. You know what they say, whiners are wieners, and none of them are winners." This is my family. Oh, touched a nerve, maybe. You know, I could perhaps argue that was a little bit of an overreaction, but I thought to myself, you know, I have a choice here in how I communicate with my family. And this year, instead of being an instigator, I'm going to try to be a peacemaker. So the rest of my posts for the rest of the year will have peacemaking in mind, not instigating. Pray for me. Actually, let's pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time, for your word before us. God, help us to be mindful that you call us to be peacemakers, not instigators. May we have your heart, Lord Jesus, and love others with it. May the words then of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our text today from James, we're going to be in James for the next 2 weeks. In our text from James today, James is encouraging that we in the church be those who sow in peace. And he defines a peacemaker by saying these things. A peacemaker is one who practices the wisdom that comes from heaven, not the wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. There are two kinds of wisdom. James and Peter and Paul also talk about this similarly. And as we looked at verse 15, James says, "The wisdom that comes from heaven is the wisdom of one who makes peace." And then in verse 13, he says, "And those who will be wanting to make peace," let me read it for us, "who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom," the wisdom that comes from God. And so we show our humility, we show our wisdom, we show that we are peacemakers and not instigators in the world by doing these things. First, by living lives which are pure. Because in verse 17, James is going to give us now a list then of the things that we might live out in our lives to be peacemakers. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. That means it's of the same substance. There are no flaws in it. We know that gold is refined by burning, and the burning burns out the impurities, so we have a pure substance that is gold. In the same way, our lives as we submit to Christ become pure. Paul says to the church at Philippi that the children of God are without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That's Philippians 2:15. Now, what does it mean that we're out without fault? It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're sinless, because we are sinful and we're not perfect. But we strive in Christ to live lives above reproach, above those saying, well, this is your fault. It's very clear that this conversation between my niece and I on the message board of our fantasy team was my fault. For whatever reason, I started this thing. If I didn't post the cartoon which she took offensive, then this would have never happened. And so a life that is pure in a crooked and warped generation. You see, my niece is not a Christian. My older brother is not a follower of Jesus. And he hasn't passed down his faith to my niece and now to my great niece. And every week when we pray for those who are lost, I pray in silence for my brother and his family. I get the opportunity in this league to act better than I did, to be pure, to be loving, and to be seeking peace. It's my responsibility as the one who believes. Number two, the peacemakers, or those who are living out the wisdom of heaven, are living lives which are peace-loving. That means they live peace as a goal. That's what's in front of them. They think through things before they speak. I don't always do that. But if I think to myself, is this going to bring peace in this conversation? This takes a deliberate effort and mindset. What if before we acted, before we spoke, before we wrote, we asked ourselves, is this going to foster peace, or am I instigating something here? Number three, peacemakers live lives which are considerate. This word considerate is found in the Apostle Paul's and James and the Apostle Peter's lists of characteristics of those who love and serve and follow Christ. And this word considerate means that we are considering others above ourselves. In fact, Paul says it this way: in humility, we must value others above yourself. If I were to have thought, before I just posted this thing, how will my family receive this? If I would have just thought considerately of the others in my group, I most likely would not have posted. And so one who is a peacemaker seeks to make peace by living lives which are pure and peace-loving and considerate. And James continues, he says they live lives which are submissive. Now, we talked about what it means to submit to another. It doesn't mean that we subjugate ourselves to another. We don't put them as Lord and us as servant under them. No, that's not what the Bible means when we talk about submit to or surrender. When we talk about submissive, we mean that we are making ourselves submit to another, that we are surrendering to them. In fact, in our gospel today, Jesus says, anyone who wants to be first must be very last and servant of all. That's what it means to be submissive. If we want to be first, we put ourselves last. And so one who is seeking to make peace always puts others first. Number five, We can be peacemakers by living lives which are full of mercy. Mercy and grace are two sides of the same coin. Grace is typically defined as receiving something we don't deserve, like the forgiveness of our sins by the death of Jesus on the cross. That's grace. We don't deserve grace, we deserve death. We don't deserve life, but we get it, even though we don't deserve it. And mercy, the other side of that same coin, is God withholding something that we deserve, or something that we withhold, giving to another that they deserve. Arguably, perhaps, I could have responded in kind to my niece, but by God's grace, I did not. You see, withholding something that someone else deserves, maybe anger, maybe judgment, maybe wrath, even if you have been righteously wronged, that's what it means to be full of mercy. And Jesus redefined the law for us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is redefining the law for the people as he preaches his most famous sermon. And in verse 38, he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." You see, Jesus redefines for us what it means to live according to the law in right relationship with each other. When we are full of mercy, we're not giving back an eye for an eye. We're not exacting a tooth for a tooth. But we're saying, no, I forgive you. In fact, I give you all the more. And so if we're seeking to be peacemakers and not instigators, we are also then full of good fruit. We all bear fruit, like it or not, and that fruit will give evidence to the kind of tree we are, or plant. This year we planted 3 different kinds of tomatoes, but really, when it comes to gardening, I only have a few years' experience, so I'm no green thumb. And so as we planted these, apparently what you're supposed to do with that little tongue depressor thing that comes with your plant, you're supposed to put that by the tomato so you know what you're going to get. But I didn't do that. So as I'm describing to friends, well, you know, we have 3 different kinds of tomato plants here, and, well, we're just going to have to see how it goes. But once they started to fruit, or vegetable, I don't know. Once they started to bear fruit, it was easy to tell. There were little yellow ones, and then big red ones, and then medium red ones. And so I could say, well, those are big boys, or those are the yellow bells, or those are the Romas. Same in our lives. It's easy to tell by our fruit what kind of tree we are, whether we're a peacemaker or an instigator. Did you know that? It's really easy to tell in people. You can identify by their fruit whether they're a peacemaker or an instigator. And the fruit of a peacemaker is the same fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul listed what this fruit was in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is, listen to this, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, the same fruit of the peacemaker, the same fruit that is the wisdom from heaven. Number 7, a peacemaker practices this heavenly wisdom by living life, a life which is impartial. What does that mean? It means seeking peace with all people, without judgment. not just those we love. In the same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to the crowd that's gathered, he says, it's easy for you to love people who love you. Do you find that that's a true statement for the most part? People who love you, it's easy for you to love back. But what does Jesus say? He says, I tell you, you're not only to love the people who love you, but also your enemies. We are to love all people, to be impartial in our peacemaking. And then lastly, number 8, a peacemaker practices the heavenly wisdom of God by living lives which are sincere. That means authentic and true. That you can see through their lives transparently and see as they make peace around them or try to the best of their ability and by God's help that this is something that is their true heart's desire. It's not just for show. And then what comes to these peacemakers? So if we are living lives which are pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, and sincere, there's a promise here that's attached to this text. Those who are making peace, those who are sowing peace, they reap a harvest of righteousness. Righteousness means right in the eyes of God. And so we're becoming that light that is in the world. We're becoming that salt that is of the earth. I wish I did things differently. Yeah, it's a funny cartoon to me. I had a great opportunity to influence my niece and my brother and their family, and I wasn't seeking peace. I wasn't seeking disharmony exactly. I wasn't trying to be an instigator, but it doesn't really matter. I was one. And so I hope you will join me, not just this football season, although that's a start, but in all of life and at all times, to strive by God's help to be peacemakers, not instigators. Amen.